Greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To all the fathers who have stood up just now, I want to again wish you a very blessed and happy Father's Day. Now, you may be wanting to know, maybe very new to this, and you want to know what is Father's Day all about. The simplest answer I can give you is that it is like Mother's Day. Everybody in the world knows about Mother's Day, so I don't think I need to explain anymore. Right? The difference between Father's Day and Mother's Day is that on Father's Day, you spend a lot less. This is a true story. My pastor friend told me last year, on Mother's Day, he had 4 children. So he gave them 100 ringgit each to go and buy the mother a good present. So 4 of them went, they were cooperative. They went to the shop, browsed around almost the whole day, found something very nice. But 400 is not enough. So they didn't want to bother the father. So they went and broke their piggy bank and brought out the extra money for the mom. So mothers deserve the best. Moms, okay? You okay? You agree? Yes, yeah. But on Father's Day, he just gave 100 ringgit to all the 4 of them to buy a gift for himself. That's not the end of the story, because he taught the children to be financially very savvy. So what they did with the 100 ringgit is they went to the shopping mall and bought a box of socks, 4 pairs of them inside, costing $20. And then they took out from the box, individually wrapped the sock. And then on Father's Day, my friend got 4 pairs of socks. And luckily, they were of different colors. Yeah. And what happened to the extra $80? They were in the pockets of the 4 children. So that's Father's Day for you. Yeah. So that's besides it. Huh? I want to let you know that fathers have got a very heavy duty, heavy responsibility. God has designed the marriage to be between a man and a woman. In Genesis 1:27, we read, God created man in his own image and likeness. Male and female, he created them. So we need fathers as well as mothers for the healthy development of the children in the family. So fathers, don't be absent. Don't spend all your time at the golf course or go jungle trekking. Spend more time with your children. They are given to you as gift for a short time. After they are grown, sometimes if you miss that opportunity, you may not get it back anymore. Yeah. So my idea of sharing today is to look at some good example of a good father. So why is it important? First, let me show you, what if we don't do it properly? The cause of fatherlessness. That means no father in the family. It may not be because he's absent altogether, but sometimes he could be there, but he's not present, not actively engaged in raising the children. So the cause of fatherlessness. These statistics are from US because they are more well researched, and as a result they are more accurate. I tried to get our local ones, they're almost the same as this, but I know our statistics may not be so thoroughly accumulated. Yeah. So what you see there is 85% of all youth in prison come from fatherless home. Heavy percentage. Yeah? 85%. Second one is, children from fatherless homes are 20 times more likely to end up in prison. So fathers, if you want to avoid the situation where your kids have to be behind bars, please be present in their life. And the third one I want to give you is, 70% of juveniles in state-operated institutions come from fatherless homes. So big figures, 70%, 85%, and 20 times more likely. So I hope these statistics scare the daylights of the fathers. If we don't do our duty, we are partly to blame if our children run foul of the law and get into all sorts of mischiefs. So when I was preparing this message, I thought of finding some good examples from the Bible about good fathers. But then I realized there's no perfect father. Because why? We are all fallen people. None of us can be perfect in that sense. Then I remember a story told by Jesus, and it has been described as the most beautifully written short story of all time. And the one describing that is none other than Charles Dickens. You know, that guy who wrote Oliver Twist, The Great Expectations, Twin City, the Tale of Two Cities. That guy said the parable of the prodigal son is the most beautifully written short story ever. So I remember the story that Jesus told about this father. And this father is the perfect father because it represents God the Father himself. themselves. So what better example can we have? A role model who can emulate or show us exactly what a good father, a perfect father is like, and we try to emulate his qualities. Let's move on. Yeah. So it's taken from the passage just now you saw. Yeah, it is from Luke chapter 15 verses 11 to 32. But just quick background to it. This happened when Jesus was already preaching, actively engaged in his ministry on earth, and he had a good following. And a lot of times he spent with sinners, including tax collectors. And the religious people, maybe like our elders in church and all that, they were observing him and say, hi. He called himself a holy man, but his behavior is contrary to his claim because he's spending so much time with the sinners, with the tax collectors, the outcasts of society. So he can't be a holy guy. He must be the chief of sinners. So they were murmuring, you know, all these religious leaders, the Pharisees and the religious leaders, they were murmuring. And then as a result, Jesus taught them these three parables. So in Luke chapter 15, verses 1 to 10, there are two parables there. One is a parable of the missing sheep, 100 sheep. One got lost. The shepherd went out, looked for it, found it, and then he called for a great celebration among his people. The second parable that Jesus told after that was a missing coin. 10 coins, one was missing. So the housewife swept the whole house, cleared out all the dust, found that missing coin, and they called for a celebration. And then verses 11 to 32, which is the longest of the three parables, Jesus talked about a man and his two sons. So sometimes in your Bible, you can see the translator put there, parable of the prodigal son. Or some versions may say, parable of the two lost sons. But to me, it is not so much about the sons. It is about the father. Because you read there, and there was a man who had two sons. What is the subject of this sentence? It's a father. The two sons are basically objects. So I think my English teacher would be proud of me. Yeah. The subject is the father. Father must be given prominence. So it is really fitting for us today on Father's Day to shine the spotlight back on God as he deserves. Yeah. So let us not forget, God is the central figure in this parable. And let me read to you quickly the verses. There was a man who had two sons, and the younger of them said to the father, Father, give me the share of property that is coming to me. And he divided his property between them. Not many days later, the younger son gathered all that he had and took a journey into a far country. And there he squandered his property in reckless living. And when he had spent everything, a severe famine arose in that country, and he began to be in need. Verse 15, so he went and hired himself out as one of the citizens of that country, who sent him into his fields to feed pigs. And he was longing to be fed with the pods that the pigs ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have more than enough bread, but I perish here with hunger. I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants. Verse 20, and he arose and came to his father, but while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion, and ran and embraced him and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, quickly bring the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring the fattened calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to celebrate. Now his older brother was in the field, and as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to him, your brother has come, and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has received him back safe and sound. But he was angry and refused to go in. His father came out and entreated him, but he answered the father, "Look, how many years have I served you? I've served you and I never disobeyed your command. Yet you never gave me a young goat that I might celebrate with my friend. But when this son of yours came, who has devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed the fattened calf for him." And he said to him, "Son, you are always with me, and all that I have, all that is mine is yours. It was fitting to celebrate and be glad, for this your brother was dead and is alive. He was lost and is found." Shall we pray? Father, we thank you for this morning that we can look through this passage, Lord, on Father's Day to see for ourselves what a perfect father looks like, and God the Father himself, he presented to us through this parable. Help us, Father, to have a quick heart to understand and obey your word. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. So I like to just classify this rather long passage with just three different categories. One is father with open hands. How we saw the first place, the young son came to the father and asked, "Father, give me my share of the property." The Jewish community and the way of life is very similar to Asians like us. We don't like our children to ask for their property while we are still alive, isn't it? Most of the fighting starts when the children start quarreling and fighting over inheritance while the old man is still alive. So here, it is a great insult. The young man went to the father, seemingly telling the father, even though he called him father, "But give me my share. I can't wait. Since you are alive, I cannot get to enjoy it." So it is almost like, why don't you kick the bucket quickly and let me have the money? "But since you are still so healthy and strong, give me my share. I'll go in peace." And the hearers of this parable were very angry as well to hear this young man being so rash and rude to the father. It is a big shame to the father. But they wanted to hear what will be coming next. The father, to their horror, gave the young man his share. So since there were two brothers, so the elder brother will have double share and the younger one share. So he got 1/3 of the father's inheritance and whatever he owns. Then he took the money. He must have converted all the assets into cash or some other medium that can be exchanged for cash to the country that he wanted to go to. So he took the money in not many days. That means he must have done a fire sale, selling the assets as soon as possible so that he could get the money and go and enjoy himself. So you know, during a fire sale, you never get the maximum value for your asset. But nevertheless, he didn't care. He just took the money and he left. You can see there. The father releases. But the father knows that love should allow for rebellion as well. Free will. God still remember, the father remembers that we are given free will. So God has given us free will even though we have believed in him. Then he knows that he has instructed the children from young. And he knows that in Proverbs 22 verse 6, "Train a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from the way." So he knows he has done his job, and he knows the word of God will never return to God empty, but will accomplish the purpose for which he sent for. So he let the young man go. So he went to a far country. Why? Because he doesn't want any prying eyes. He doesn't want anybody to see him enjoy life or living carelessly. And he just threw his money everywhere, and lots of people became his friends and relatives. They say wealth is relative. When you have wealth, you have many relatives. Suddenly they claim credit. "I'm a cousin from your third auntie, you know, from this side and that side." They claim to be relatives. So he spent so freely without any plan, without any thought of the future. He never planned for it. So he just spent it and wasted the thing. That's why we call him prodigal. Prodigal is wasteful, yeah, extravagant. Then according to the parable, there suddenly, when he has finished all his money, he was hit with another whammy. There was famine in the land. Wow. Famine in the land means cost of food will go up, right? Crop die, or animals also die. So food will be scarce. So it will be costly. So then he had to find some means. And then the work ethics that the father taught him from young is still with him. So he, instead of begging, he went and looked for a job. Tried many places. Finally, he found one where they sent him to the pigsty. For a Jewish boy, it is one of the lowliest jobs. In fact, they wouldn't touch it if they had a choice. So he went to feed pigs. And when he was there, the food that they were giving the pigs looked attractive after a while. So he was so hungry, he wanted to almost eat the food that was given to the pig. But there something we hear, no one gave him anything. So you see, God sometimes practices tough love. So this father, even though he was a very rich man in the country, he could easily have sent some plain clothes, undercover agent, to follow the boy, make sure things are going well with him. If things are not, then try to help him. But God did nothing of that sort. God trusted that his instruction would carry through. Then the young man said, well, one day, when you are feeding pigs, you don't have much to do besides dishing out the food, you know. So he had plenty of time to think. Suddenly he said, in my father's house, the hired servants had more than enough bread. And what am I doing here? Why am I so stupid? I'm dying of hunger. He was going through all this. Then he said, I will go back. That's true repentance. True repentance means you acknowledge that you have done wrong, that you have sinned against the Father, sinned against God, and that you want to do something about it. And he said, I will go back to the Father. And that's what he did. He decided to ditch the job and walk home. I don't think the time they had Grab, so no way they could do it. Yeah, so he had to walk. I don't know how far, but it's a distant country. It could be very far. But finally, he managed to get home. Father opened hands. Yeah. So the father continues to wait for him while he's away. Yeah. He's an old man there watching, waiting. And then when the young man decided to go back, the father saw him. What does it mean? It means the father must have been watching out for him all the while. Heart was heavy, but full of hope that the lesson, instruction that he gave to the young son will be there to guide him. And when this young man came, the father saw him, and what did he do? He ran. He ran towards him. You know, in that culture, they would wear long rope, and in order to run, you need to hitch up your long rope, tie it with a belt, and then you run. But in the process of hitching up your rope, you will be exposing your legs, and it is shameful. Just like now, sometimes when you go to government offices and your shorts or your skirt are too short, they will lend you an old sarong, yeah, to cover your legs, yeah, for modesty reason. Yeah. So the father ran. He didn't bother what people say, even though it was shameful. He couldn't be bothered. And then you want to know, why did the father run? So the onlookers knew about this prodigal son, how he had taken the money to go elsewhere. So they thought the father was now going forward to give him two tight slaps to wake him up. So they were watching. No Netflix. So this is village entertainment for them. So they were watching. Some kids may be running along with the father to see what was going to happen. And when the father saw the son was filthy, smelly like a pig, and his clothes were torn. He probably haven't got any sandals on his feet. And he appeared before the father. The father didn't ask him, go and clean up first, son. After 1 week, putting all the deodorant and Dettol, come and see me. But he, instead of doing that, he went open arms. Yeah, first one was open hand, let him go. When he saw the thing, he put his arms around the smelly son of his, and we know that he embraced him and kissed him. If you look at the original Greek, that word that is translated kiss, it is kiss and kiss and kiss and kiss until probably half the skin will be gone off from his face. He was so glad to see his son. The son wanted forgiveness. Father wanted to give him reconciliation. Father said, come, my son. So the son got his grip in his mind. He said, Father, I've sinned against you and against heaven. I no longer deserve to be your son. Yeah. But his grip included the part where he said, make me one of your hired servants. But the father cut him off, shut him up, told the servant, quickly bring the rope, the best rope. Best rope in this sense would be the father's rope. He was a rich Middle Eastern man. He got fine clothing to cover the son's shame, give him honor and dignity. And he said, bring the ring, put it on his finger. The ring signifies sonship, because it is a signet ring that can be used to authorize some of the transactions of the family. And then put sandals on his feet, because only slaves walk around barefooted. So the father, in one swoop, by clothing him, giving him a ring, and putting sandals on his feet, restored the son back to his former position as the son of the Father. That is how much God loves. Sinners would turn back to Him. Then He said, you need to celebrate because a sinner has come back to the kingdom of heaven. Now, one of the reasons why the father ran so fast, even though he was not used to running, good thing he didn't suffer a heart attack because he was the old people was not used to running around. Yeah. So it is this ancient Jewish tradition called kezaza. It is like a breaking off, severing of ties between a person and his community. So this was the time when the young man came back. He had suffered what? He lost all his money to the Gentile. Then he lost his inheritance. He dishonored the father. And then also he returned in disgrace. So he was at risk of having this performed on him. Because when they do it, they will bring a pot and then break it at the feet in front of all the villagers. Elders will do that and say, you are now so and so cut off from your community. And that is irreversible. And God, the father ran ahead so that he could be ahead of the village elders so that nobody could perform that kezaza on the son. Such was God's love. So meaningful. Only the people, the hearers at that point in time could understand the significance of the father running. Father ran, of course, because he filled with compassion and love, but he did it also because of this threat of kezaza. He wanted to protect the interests of the son so that he could remain within the community. Then the third category of thing is a father with an open heart. Now, don't forget, there are two sons, right? We're talking about the first son. He was a prodigal, but now he is found. He was dead, and now he's alive. So he's back into the fold, and they were having a big party with a fattened calf. Then, a lot of sermons on this passage leave out the elder brother, but it's not complete. Elder brother was in the field. He must have gone somewhere outstation because the father owns lots of land. So when he came back, he saw full-scale party going on. So he called a servant. He said, what's going on? Music and dancing. Then I say, oh, your brother has come. Your father is so glad he's throwing a party to celebrate his return. And instead of being happy, this older brother was very angry. He thought, the young guy has taken his share of the property. Now the two-third belongs to him. Now when he comes back, his inheritance will be at stake, at risk. So he was not happy. So the father saw that the elder brother was outside. So he went out and entreated. That means father pleaded with him, come in, son. Your brother has returned. It's a happy occasion. Let's celebrate together. But the elder brother was not so easily satisfied. In one sentence, he used five, I, me, and so on. You know, he say, all these years I have served you. I've never disobeyed you. And you have never given me a goat so that I can celebrate with my friend. Five times it means. He was so angry. That means this brother was also lost. He may be at home and he thinks by being obedient to the father, he will be considered a very good person. But God doesn't judge us based on that. He is also lost and he needs redemption. And what the father did is to ask him to come in. And then also because he showed reluctance. So the father didn't really force him and left it as it is. In fact, Jesus left this story, parable, open-ended so that the hearers, especially the religious leaders who were very judgmental, who were very religious and self-righteous, would reflect on this and see, is their heart so hard that they refuse to come in even when God invites them to come in. So in simple terms, this is very simple. Father with two sons, both of them equally lost. One left, he found it the hard way. He came back, got restored. The one who stayed at home thought that he was good. He did so many things to serve God, but his heart was not right. He was like serving God out of compulsion, ritualistically. He had no joy serving it. But he thought he's safe because he's always in the house of God. So let us reflect on where we are. Are we? Can we identify more with the first son or the older son? God loves both equally. God loves both. And he wants both to come into his kingdom. Then the other layer of commitment that we want to consider is we are earthly fathers here. How are we interacting with our children? Are there areas of conflict existing right now? Do you have problems with some prodigal sons or children or daughter? How are you treating them? Are you ostracizing them, banishing them, some disowning them by publishing in a paper, he is no longer my son? Do you have that? If you have that, please consider Consider the example of the father who loves the son so much that he didn't even wait for the son to finish saying his script, but he kissed him, accepted him fully, wholeheartedly, restored him completely. God wants to do it. Can we also do the same with our children, especially those who are estranged, who are far away from us? Today, perhaps can give them a call. Start with you. For years, nothing has happened. You're waiting for him. He is waiting for you. After listening to this message and seeing how God the Father loves in us, can we humble ourselves as fathers to reach out to our children? We need to continue to instruct our children, Proverbs 22:7-6, and let us resolve to be better fathers, all of us. And just to summarize what we have spoken from this parable, we can see here that the father can represent forgiving, you know, a forgiving nature. He is approachable. When the son asks for money, he's able to you know, the father didn't slap him and disown him or treat him as dead. He was approachable. And then when he returned, the father was there to receive him. He was tender-hearted. He's tender-hearted, very soft. And he honors the son by giving him the robe, giving him the ring and the sandal, and also honoring the elder son's decision about whether he wants to come in. Then he encourages them, come, let's celebrate together. And then there's always rejoicing when one sinner comes back to the father. So before I finish, let me share with you one little story. There was a rich man, a very wealthy man, and his son was about to finish college. So his dream was to always own a yellow Ferrari. So this is well within the means of the old man. So he told the old man how much, and both of them also love sports car. So on the day of graduation, the young man was very happy. The father called him, hey, son, come into my study. So the young man was full of anticipation. Went in there, he saw a box. Yeah, this is not a box, but a box. And then very well wrapped up. So he's eagerly trying to find out what he opened the box, and he saw a Bible with gold letters, you know, his name embossed. So he got furious. He said, father, you are a cheapskate. You can well afford. You know how much I wanted it. And you just give me a Bible. He threw the box on the table and he left. And he didn't want to have anything to do with the father for maybe 20 years until one day he got a call from the father's lawyer. He said, come, your father just died 2 days ago and I'm reading the will. The young man couldn't be contacted because the father tried to call, but he left no contact number. He went to a distant country. So the son came back. He said, everything is willed to you. And then when he went through the father's thing, he saw that box, still new. Then he said, hey, maybe something in there. So he took out the box. And then below that, there's a little compartment with a brand new key, the key to his yellow Ferrari that was purchased 20 years ago. So if only that young man had stayed and talked and thanked the father, be grateful, he would have discovered his gift was already there. But he lost 20 years of fellowshipping with his father, and he lost 20 years of not driving that car. What a loss. So my brothers and sisters, don't wait 20 years to get back to your children. Or if you are children, you can call your parents. I didn't have a very good relationship with my father, but through prayer, at the end, it turned out very well. Praise the Lord. He died in my house, surrounded by all my family members. We held hands, we praised God, and all was forgiven. It can happen. So please, go out there, reach out to your children, and be a father to your children. Because God is a father to the fatherless, and also to all His children. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day, where we are reminded of your deep, deep love for us, Lord. How vast the Father's love for us. Thank you, Lord, for loving us to a fault. We don't deserve it. You showed grace. You forgave us, you restored us, and you gave us eternal life. Oh, Father, we truly want to thank you again for this day. And most importantly, Lord, as we wish each other Happy Father's Day, we are not forgetting to wish you, our heavenly, eternal, perfect Father, a very happy and blessed Father's Day as well. In Jesus' name, we pray and ask. And the people of God say, Amen. God bless you.